Hello, this is Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, February 6th, 2019. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, Aldermen Discuss Proposed Budget, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Danville City Council members Tuesday night heard a 2019-2020 budget presentation that included funding for a police chief and fire chief and reinstates the police department's problem-oriented policing unit of three officers to address the city's violence and drug and gang activity. It also, however, includes more proposed fees for businesses and organizations, including a $50 per business license fee, $100 per video gaming machine license fee to the business owner and vendor, and a 2% hotel-motel tax increase. Reductions include not filling vacant positions of community development planner and assistant corporation counsel, $20,000 less to Vermilion Advantage, from $70,000 to $50,000, and $10,000 no longer going to Downtown Danville, Inc. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said, as an alderman, he sees the city's funding to Vermilion Advantage increase from $40,000 to $70,000 annually. He said it does great work, but the contribution takes away from the city's available capital equipment funding, leaving only about $38,000. The city's proposed $51.2 million budget is up about $791,000 in expenditures from the current fiscal year. The city's general fund is estimated at about $24 million, or a 3.37% increase. The general fund surplus at the end of the 2019-2020 year is currently estimated at about $5,700. Williams told aldermen the budget is up due to pensions, salary increases, and the public safety positions. He also said some budget areas in the past have been overprojected, such as revenue from the police department. Ordinance violations, police tows, and other revenue has been much lower than projections. Williams said this fiscal year police division revenues were projected at $1.3 million. The new proposed budget shows revenues at $861,895. Williams said about the new business license fee, which would be similar to an annual liquor license fee that could be revoked from a business for violations, will offer a way for the city to prevent it from doing business if the business doesn't pay city taxes. He said the city now has several businesses 5 or 10 months or even up to a year behind in city-owed taxes. Another reports the exact same revenues month after month, and there's nothing the city can do, Williams said. We have to make sure we hold people accountable, Williams said. He also said of the hotel-motel tax increase, it would put the city in line with other cities like Urbana and cost $2 more on average, $100 a night, in Danville. Aldermen, including Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall and Ward 5 Alderman Mike Purr, already voiced concerns about the video gaming machine fees and hurting businesses and organizations already paying the state and struggling to stay open. Williams says other cities charge $250 or even $500 a machine. But Randall said Danville's economy isn't as robust. He thinks the fees are too aggressive. I could live with half of that, said Ward 2 Alderman Rick Strebbing. Williams went over each department and said of the budget overall, I'm really proud of this. It's realistic. The city council could vote on the budget in March. We'll continue next with the article, City's Public Safety Director to Retire, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. As Public Safety Director Larry Thomason has told other police officers, they'll know when it's time to leave their profession. Thomason, 71, said it's his time. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. on Friday accepted Thomason's intent to retire, effective March 29, 2019. Thomason said it's a decision he contemplated with his wife, Kay, and family for well over a year. It was just a matter of me working, making sure I was ready for it, he said. At the end of March, Thomason will be 2 months shy of 12 years as public safety director. I've almost 49 years completed with the city of Danville, Thomason said. Thomason's time with the police department included starting off as a cadet, 33 years as a full-time officer, and 3 years in the civilian position of evidence room manager, coordinator of ongoing training for police officers, and media spokesman. Thomason, in June of 2007, replaced former director Carl Alexander, who retired. Alexander became police chief in November 1999. The national search to replace former police chief Robert Dietzen drew about 75 applicants. In 2004, as a cost-saving measure, the police chief position changed to director of public safety to oversee both police and fire departments. The fire chief at the time, Matt Weber, left the position. The night Thomason was sworn in at City Hall as the new public safety director, Thomason had to act quickly in his first official duty when a heated conversation broke out in the hallway off City Council chambers between the opponent of a bed and breakfast and the homeowner. In the end, they agreed to disagree, Thomason said that night. When Thomason was sworn in, he said he was humbled by the appointment and will do his best to earn city officials' trust and confidence. He said Alexander set a high benchmark. As public safety director, I will strive to meet that mark and try to exceed it. I live by a philosophy of teamwork, he said. Today, Thomason said he has so many proud moments in his time with the police department and as director. He said they include helping start Crime Stoppers in the 1970s and seeing some old cold cases brought to fruition. Overall, I've worked with a very good group of individuals, and they with me. It's been a team effort that's hard to replace, Thomason said. He acknowledges spending more time with the police department in his position because that's what he grew up in. But he also said he has a good working relationship with the firefighters. Tuesday night's Danville City Council meeting included a budget presentation with funding adjusted to return a police chief and fire chief. Williams said a substantial budget change was needed in the fire department for a fire chief's salary, while he's hoping the police chief's salary will be similar to Thomason's, with only overseeing the police officers. Thomason's salary increased this fiscal year to $68,929. The city had rehired former police officer Thomason to the civilian position of public safety director. In 2016, Board of Trustees of the Policemen's Pension Fund for the city voted to allow Thomason to maintain his pension benefits while continuing as director. The vote came after the board received an Illinois Department of Insurance opinion stating Thomason should not be receiving both a pension and salary. Williams expects the police chief and fire chief positions will be advertised and the city having local persons and others apply. The fire chief position must be renegotiated in the firefighter contract and approved by the firefighters union and city council, Williams added. Williams said he'll be meeting this week with union executive officers to discuss options. Thomason said, I'm all for it, about the city returning to having a police and fire chief. I've never been against that at all, he said. Thomason says he has plans to spend more time with his family in retirement. He doesn't plan to leave the community. Working with a lot of individuals in the community has been a real blessing in trying to move our city in the right direction, he said. He said there's been a tremendous amount of cooperation. Next, we'll continue with the article, Heartfelt Wishes, Students Create Valentines for Veterans, by Carol Rome. Danville. A classroom of fourth graders at Edison Elementary School were hard at work Tuesday afternoon, making a few dozen homemade Valentine cards that will end up in the hands of veterans next week. The sweet sentiments took the form of cutout construction paper hearts and colorful marker and crayon drawings. I will end up with about 40 cards from my class, Edison fourth grade teacher Jim Rogers said. They can make one or cut up the paper and make three. Rogers has been coordinating the Valentines for Veterans effort among the Danville District 118's 11 schools for the last 13 years. This started when my sister worked at the VA, and then when she retired, I continued to coordinate it with the school district, he said. Most every school has more than one class creating the heartfelt tokens. However, Roger said he was a little concerned about how many total cards he would collect this year. I think the 3 snow days last week will hurt me, he said. I already have cards from 5 schools. Mark Denman, Liberty, Kenneth D. Bailey Academy, Southwest, and Danville High School. I hope more will come in this week, Rogers said. We usually get several hundred cards. Rogers will need that many when he takes the children's Valentines to the Danville Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System. With Valentine's Day coming towards the end of the week next week, Rogers said the cards will be distributed to veterans during the entire week. The cards are handed out to inpatients as well as to the outpatients who are at the VA for doctor appointments. The card-making project isn't all about cutting out heart shapes and drawing colorful designs with markers. It is a learning opportunity to talk to the children about what a veteran is. Fourth grader Grady Devers wrote a long verse by hand on the front of his card. My dad is a veteran, and my sister is in the Navy right now, he explained. Grady's handwritten wish came from the heart. It read, Happy Valentine's Day. I salute you. I will never disrespect you because you made this country what it is. You will always be respected. You should be respected by everyone. Fellow classmate Auberelle Woods, who neatly made her card and added the word love on it, said her favorite part of creating the Valentine cards was that people are going to see them. That's what motivated fourth grader Josh Hamlet as well. He made one card depicting a soldier wearing camouflage and a second card on behalf of his class so all of his classmates could sign it. I like to do art for other people, Josh said. The best thing I like about art is giving it away to people. We'll go now to the death notices. Jose Del Carmen Velasquez passed away on February 2nd, 2019. Wake services will be at 3 p.m. on Friday, February 8th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with visitation from 3:30 to 6 p.m. Mass will be celebrated at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, February 9th at St. Paul's Catholic Church at 1303 North Walnut Street in Danville. He will be laid to rest in Danville National Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, please send donations in Jose's name to St. Paul Catholic Church, Danville VFW Post 728, or Knights of Columbus. Flora K. Forez Chacon, 79, of Venice, Florida, passed away on January 31, 2019. Donations can be made in her name to American Heart Association or Christ United Methodist Church in Venice, Florida. Norman T. Doc Ensley, 87, of Bloomington, Illinois, formerly of Bartonville, passed away on February 4th. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at St. Anthony Catholic Church in Bartonville, Illinois. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Thursday at the church, with a scripture service at 7 p.m. Burial will be in St. Mary Cemetery in West Peoria, Illinois. Memorials may be made to the Ensley Family Memorial Scholarship Fund at Limestone Community High School in Bartonville. Esther C. Carl, 89, of Westville, passed away on Sunday, February 3rd. A Celebration of Life funeral service will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. Pastor James Blue will officiate. Visitation for family and friends will be 1 hour prior to the service. Esther will be laid to rest in Greenwood Cemetery. Kathleen Ann Hall, 79, passed away on February 2nd. Per her request, there will be a private celebration of life. Gina J. Tanner, 48, of Danville, passed away on Thursday, January 31st. A memorial service will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday, February 9th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturday prior to her service. Memorial donations may be given in Gina's name to Vermilion County Department of Animal Regulation. Mother Bernice Brown McCullough, 88, of Danville, passed away on January 30th. A homegoing celebration will commence at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at Greater Shiloh Baptist Church at 609 North Bowman. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until the time of service. Visitation will also be from 3 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, February 7th, at Mount Olive Baptist Church at 428 North Washington Avenue, with a one-hour celebration service beginning at 5 p.m. Karen L. Briggs, 57, of Covington, Indiana, passed away on Monday, January 28th. A visitation will be from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, February 9th, at Shelby Funeral Home of Covington. Funeral service to follow at 5 p.m. Eastern. Lonnie Diekmiller, 86, of Danville, passed away on February 2nd. There will be no services per Lonnie's wishes. Larry Eugene Pruitt, 63, of West Lebanon, Indiana, passed away on Monday, February 4th. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Eastern on Saturday, February 9th, at Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, February 10th, in the chapel. Interment will follow at West Lebanon Cemetery. Larry G. Woodard, 81, passed away on February 1st. A celebration of life service will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation from 9 to 11 a.m. prior to the service at the funeral home. Louise Elvira Donley, 105, of Danville, Illinois, passed away on February 4th. A celebration of Louise's life will be at 4 p.m. on Thursday, February 7th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. prior to the service. A graveside service will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at GAR Cemetery in Homer, Illinois. Memorial donations may be made in her honor to Gideon's United Methodist Church in Oakwood or to the donor's choice. Wanda Baird Heffling, 86, of Tilton, passed away on Tuesday, February 5th. Funeral services are at 10 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Burial in Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola. Visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 7th, at Robison Chapel. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Betty M. Henry, 84, of Danville, passed away on February 3rd. A celebration of life will be at 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 7th, at Southside Church of Christ in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursday at the church. Memorials in Betty's memory may be given to the Muscular Dystrophy Association or the Southside Church of Christ. Command Sergeant Major Ronald E. Wells, United States Army retired, 85, of Danville, passed away on February 2nd. A celebration of life will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday, February 7th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on Thursday, February 7th, at the funeral home. Command Sergeant Major Ronald E. Wells, retired, will be laid to rest at Danville National Cemetery with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210 Honor Guard. Memorials in Ronald's memory may be given to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Glenn Michelson, 79, passed away on Thursday, January 31st. A service will be at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. on Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Glenn's name to the Humane Society of the United States. David Brian Williams, 76, of Bowling Green, Ohio, formerly of Maumee, Ohio, passed away on Friday, February 1st. A memorial mass will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 8th, at St. Aloysius Catholic Church in Bowling Green, Ohio. Visitation is at 10 a.m. on Friday at the church until the time of the mass at 11 a.m. Memorial contributions can be given in his memory to Ohioans Home Health Care. Susan A. Snyder, 74, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, February 2nd, in Danville. A celebration of life service will be at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, February 5th, at the funeral home. Brett D. Crowder, 48, of Coatesville, Indiana, formerly of Cayuga, Indiana, passed away on February 2nd. The service to celebrate the life of Brett Crowder will be at 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, February 7th, at Sunset's Covington Chapel in Covington, Indiana. Burial will follow at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Visitation from 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, February 6th. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Megan A. Crowder College Fund at any branch of Old National Bank. Ellen Lynn Lathrop, 68, of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away on February 2nd. A visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Eastern on Thursday, February 7th, at Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport. Services will be at 11 a.m. Eastern on Friday, February 8th, in the chapel. Interment will follow at Gundy Cemetery in Bismarck, Illinois. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society. We'll now head over to today's News Gazette for the article, Disc Golf Course Among Projects Grant Will Fund, by Tracy Crane, Danville. One of Ellsworth Park's biggest features can be its biggest challenge. The North Fork River occasionally spills over its banks, flooding a good portion of Danville's oldest park. That's why Steve Lane, Danville's superintendent of parks, has long loved the idea of putting a disc golf course there. It's something I'm really excited about. It's a use that we can have down there that flooding is not going to hurt anything, said Lane, who led the city's successful application for a $373,900 Open Spaces Lands Acquisition and Development Grant from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. The funds will be used for Ellsworth Park improvements, including a 9-hole disc golf course with baskets on each hole similar to those at the Dodds Park course in Champaign. The course would be positioned along both sides of the river, near the footbridge crossing the North Fork on the north side of the park. You will play partly on one side and cross the footbridge and have a couple of holes on the east side, Lane said of the course. I think that will be something that will be popular and draw some people from out of town. Disc golf enthusiasts are always looking for a new course to play. In a separate, long-anticipated project, IDNR plans to begin removing the Low Head Dam on the North Fork in Ellsworth Park this spring, according to Rick Pullman with the Department of Office of Water Resources. Several years ago, Danville aldermen voted in favor of removing the dam, the site of multiple drownings over several decades. We anticipate the construction operations to begin in early March 2019, Pullman said Tuesday. Mobilization of equipment to the site may begin in late February. Rich in local history, the land for Ellsworth Park was donated in 1880 by Ellsworth Coal Company after coal was extracted from the area. At the turn of the last century, Ellsworth Park was the place to go for recreation in Danville. It had a horse racing track, a nine-hole golf course, and a public swimming beach along the North Fork. With flooding in mind, Lane said other improvements planned for the park include a new restroom and concessions building near the park's northwest entrance, on ground above the floodplain, unlike the current restrooms and concession facility. He said the existing softball field, which is not in regular use, will be removed, and a new playground, basketball court, and multi-purpose field for soccer, football, and other uses will be built, as will a picnic shelter near the new playground. "We will be putting in lots of new sidewalk too," Lane said, "to improve the handicapped accessibility in the park and to do some better handicap parking as well." He said nearly an acre of unused asphalt will be removed. Part of that area will be where the new playground is installed, and in another area, lots of native vegetation will be seeded. Lane said he will know more about the timeline for these improvements when he gets the final grant instructions, but the city, which will be doing most of the work in-house, will have a 2-year window to complete the new amenities. Pullman said the timeline of the dam's removal will be influenced by spring precipitation and associated river flows. He said IDNR, Office of Water Resources staff, based in Havana in western Illinois, will do the removal, and the rate of the actual removal will depend on the amount of reinforcement in the dam structure. Pullman added that the staff performing the work have duties and responsibilities across the state that may temporarily interrupt construction operations at the dam. Heading back to the commercial news, we'll now go to the article, "Public Can Access New Court System," a staff report. Danville. The Vermilion County Circuit Clerk's Office announced Monday the implementation of eMagmus Lite. This is a new public access site for Vermilion County court records and will replace the Judici website. The Circuit Court's Office appreciates everyone's patience during the transition period. To access the website, go to www.vercounty.org/circuit_clerk_case_search.htm. Circuit Clerk Dennis Gabner also anticipates the ability to pay fines and fees online to be up and running in the near future. That link will also be included on the Vermilion County website once it is launched. This project has been a very time-consuming one. However, we feel as if the benefits of our partnership with JANO will be an asset to Vermilion County, according to the press release from Gardner. According to Gardner, the cost for the system was about $969,746. That is for every department in the entire courthouse, including judges, probation, state attorneys, public defender, and circuit clerk. Vermilion County Board Chairman Larry Bond previously has said one of the big county changes in 2018 was new accounting and courthouse management systems. "The courthouse system is a work in progress," he added in December. "The JANO criminal justice software system is intended to streamline information and make information more readily available to sheriff's officers in their squad cars, attorneys, and others," he said. "Those with questions about the site or those who need assistance outside of the public inquiry, the clerk's office is open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday, at the Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse at 7 North Vermilion Street." That's all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, February 6, 2019. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to our next reading.